This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Travels with George is the new book from Nathaniel Philbrick, In Search of Washington and His Legacy. The South is an undiscovered country in the past and the future for George Washington. He is a Southerner, and yet North Carolina was also a reluctant state to vouchsafe the Constitution. The traveling, however, in his cream-colored chariot, with his horse Prescott, with his staff, two of whom are slaves, his companions, his secretaries, is going to be over some really rough country. And Nat, I got the sense what Washington traveled was impassable. He leaves in March of 1791. He returns in July of 1791. But this was not obvious that he was going to survive this.
No, this was the odyssey, if you will, the journey at the top, all journeys for George Washington when it came to these groups of tours of the country. I mean, this was almost 2,000 miles of travel involved. It took him 3 months over the worst roads in the country. And the accommodations were terrible. They had not been great in New England, but it was a whole different order in the South. And in fact, there are some places where you just couldn't find a public tavern, forcing Washington to stay in private homes. And so this was going to be and also a great logistical challenge in terms of he was going to be away 3 months. What if something happened that required his attention back in what now Philadelphia, which has now become the temporary capital? So he created a whole itinerary where messages could be sent. And he said, yeah, send it out and I'll be back in a month. And so, this was a huge undertaking. It would be exhausting. He had a new cream colored carriage built for the occasion, state of the art vehicle that would work flawlessly. But Washington was a Virginian, but he had spent almost no time in North Carolina, never been to South Carolina, never been to Georgia. This was terra incognita for George Washington.
Let's go right to Charleston, because he works his way down. The country changes dramatically. He follows the seacoast from New Bern to Wilmington to Hampton Plantation, then on to Charleston. A very rich city at this point, very prominent city. You enjoyed Charleston when you traveled there.
Yes. Charleston is hard not to enjoy. I mean, it's steeped in history. The architecture is fantastic. It's sited by two rivers with a magnificent harbor in front of it. And but for Washington, the city, this city and Savannah, they are the cities that are Federalists. They support his government. They are kind of the exceptions to the rule in the South. There's a magnificent there that he hasn't experienced ever when it comes to a city. And it's a luxuriousness that's based on Southern slavery. And boy, do they put out all the stops when it comes to George Washington's visit.
Now, you have a hobby, Nat, and I discovered it in the course of your book. Your hobbies are librarians and libraries. Where does it come from, Nat?
Well, it's an ancient Philbrick trait. My great-grandfather, a man by the name of Copeman, my grandmother's father, was the librarian at Brown University. My mother-in-law was a librarian, and I'm currently serving on the board of our Nantucket Public Library, known as the Nantucket Athenaeum. When I was raising our children, I was the one at home, while my wife, the attorney, was the breadwinner. The Nantucket Athenaeum was the sanctuary that got me through the bewitching hours before dinner with my children in the children's library. And so, and when I was researching this book, I reached out to the libraries and historical societies of as many towns Washington visited as possible, and who provided all sorts of information and in some cases helped guide us when we arrived in their town. And so in many ways, Travels with George is a love letter to librarians. And the leading one in our family is my father's uncle was a librarian at the Citadel. And his wife, Martha, drove the bookmobile of the Charleston Public Library. And so two very different librarians. But this made the visit to Charleston resonance with personal connections, and to pair the Citadel with the bookmobile that was going out into the rural areas of Charleston. It was, you know, you can't make this stuff up.
No, you can. And you had a treat in Charleston that is not available to everybody. You were 186 feet above Charleston and St. Michael's Church. How did you get up there? We have about a minute.
Yes, well, there's a great history professor at the Citadel, David Preston, who was able to get us a tour up to the top of the spire at St. Michael's, something Washington had done. And there we were, standing at exactly the place Washington had 130 years before. And that's standing in a historical vortex, if there ever was one.
And the climb up, is it one of those spinning stairways that you go round and round all the way up with close space?
Yes, it's very confined. I don't know how a man over, 6'4" could have done it.
It gave me vertigo reading that you'd climbed up there. And you were advised not to go close to the edge, not because they were thinking you were going to fall, but because if people saw you from the ground, they'd want to come up there too. Nathaniel Philbrick travels with George in search of Washington and his legacy. We're headed into time now. Sherman is everywhere when you travel through South Carolina. The ironies are everywhere as well. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.